And there's Jerry.
Yes, he's with us. Yes,
I'm here. Am I? That's a good question. And I think I'm going to use that as a lead in here this morning. Yeah, where are we? Where are we? And I think the first foundation of mindfulness answers that question. Yeah, this body. So, we're talking about the Satipatthana Sutta today, and it's the mindfulness, the four foundations of mindfulness. And mindfulness was the tool that the Buddha used 2,600 years ago, and he entered his spiritual path. And he was dissatisfied as a prince. Yeah, that answers weren't there. He looked at denying bodily pleasures to the extreme. Answer wasn't there. And he used mindfulness to say, what's really going on here? What is the source of suffering? How does one end suffering? So mindfulness is the tool. Mindfulness is the tool that he used. And he invited us, and he told us that his experience was looking at mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of feelings that Linda will be talking about, mindfulness of emotions and mind stuff that Susan will be talking about, and mindfulness of the understandings that he came to, the dhammas that Steve will be talking about. So this is an amazing set of instructions. It was described as the direct path. It is results in an understanding of how things are. I was just thinking this morning, it's kind of like the ancient Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe. I mean, Buddha came up with this on his own, and he gave us instructions to do the same. So it starts. There is a body. That's often not recognized. Often, if you're anything like me, our minds are traveling. Our minds are our experience. We're moving forward. We're moving backwards. We're moving into the past. We have fantasies. We have stories. We're here and we're there. And our minds have no interest in being here and now. So this is the body. This is where we can find stability. This is where we can find a beginning point. If we're using GPS, is where do we start? Use current location. The body is current location. The body brings us to the here and now. So I like a lot of the teachings of Ajahn Suchito, and one thing he would do in guided meditations would be ask, where am I? And the answer to that question is this body. And so this first foundation points to how we look at this body. On a night that the Buddha was enlightened, he was assaulted by Mara with all kinds of temptations and fears and invitations to power and fame and pleasures. And as he often would say to Mara, I know you, Mara. And he would not follow those temptations. Rather, on that night, he touched the earth, and you see this on Buddhist statues, that classic, where he reaches down and touches the earth. And as the earth witnesses him being here and now, this point, and with that understanding, that connectedness, that clarity about here and now, open to enlightenment, and he was not enticed by Mara's invitations. Another area where this foundation of mindfulness, where the body is helpful, is that it's like a barometer. It's the seat of our emotional intelligence. It's kind of we can get a read on our heart. You know, so much of how we understand things in today's world is through rational reasoning and thinking and figuring. And we're operating out of the top 8 inches of our body. Bringing ourselves into mindfulness of the rest of the body taps into this emotional intelligence, this body intelligence, where we can have an understanding of our emotions from how we are responding to things in our bodies. And as we see emotions and difficulties and our responses and our intentions and our inclinations and our wants and not wants, recognizing that energy of that in our bodies, we can say, is this a value? Is this something I want to follow? We can have a pause in relationship to these experiences, and we can soften around our grabbing or our pushing away. We can use our bodies to find a settledness, to relax and just know and be present with whatever type of difficulties might be arising. So what is meant by mindfulness of the body? What is this body that is being referred to? Well, first of all, it's the obvious. It's this body, head, arms, legs, you know, this body that we often refer to as, here I am, me. But it goes beyond that. It's not just this body. It's also the senses. It's the senses which perceive other bodies. So anything that can be seen or heard or felt or smelled or tasted, those things, those senses, those five senses are part of what we mean by the body. So it's this body. It's our internal activities and sensations. It's also the external, other people, other things, sights, sounds, images. What it's not, which the foundation is not, the first foundation is not, it's not the mind stuff. And the other three foundations are going to move us into that direction. Our thoughts and our emotions and our feelings, how we, you know, the way we respond, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, that's all the other three foundations. So anything in the material world, almost like the things that a scientist studies, what can we see, feel, measure, taste, and so forth. This foundation, this Satipatthana Sutta, is really big. Joseph Goldstein wrote this book. It's called Mindfulness. Steve just made a reference to it. It's huge. It's a practical guide to awakening, like I was saying earlier. You know, it leads to awakening. He also has about 46 talks on Dharma Seed about the Satipatthana Sutta. And if you ever want to form a group, a study group sometime, it can be a worthwhile thing to engage in. Just listen to all those talks and, you know, practice with a group. Rodney Smith also talks about the four foundations of mindfulness. He wrote a book called Touching the Infinite, and it was a real interesting take on the four foundations, in that he said typically Buddhism talks from suffering to the end of suffering. In what Rodney does, he talks form to the end of form. Form is the first foundation. It's this solid stuff, apparently solid stuff. And moving into the formless, which was the Dhammas. A real nice take on the four foundations that you know, might want to check out. So there's kind of a set of reflections, a set of relationships that we use for mindfulness. They're in all the four foundations. But in regard to the body, it says, contemplating the body internally, externally, both internally and externally. Well, that's an interesting one. Certainly we know internally, this body inside, you know, our just things that are we're feeling. Externally, yeah, we can see other people, we can see other things. This internally and externally, I find, is very interesting. It's not just being redundant, but rather it's incorporating both in a full experience. It's undermining the distinction, undermining the barriers between self and others. It's a unification view of the world. It's a full view of our experience. Another refrain, another part that is said, we establish mindfulness, enough mindfulness to recognize simply what is unfolding moment to moment without mental commentary, to remain mindful of what's happening. So, so for me, this is, it's a continuity of awareness. It's a relationship which is of just seeing. It's not an aggressive bearing down, you know, cranking down on mindfulness and really pursuing, well, what the heck's going on here? It's enough mindfulness to simply recognize the unfolding moment to moment without mental commentary. There's no judgment involved there. It's not saying, this isn't good enough. I want this experience to be elsewise. It's not, I want to pursue a pleasant experience here. I'm using mindfulness to just kind of relax and chill. It's not that. But it's just being there, recognizing, knowing, allowing. Rodney Smith often instructs, relax, observe, and allow. Another refrain that's used, these are kind of paraphrased of what the Buddha described, but it says, abiding without clinging to anything that enters our realm of experience. No preferences, not wanting this or averse to that. So again, this allowing aspect to it. Not trying to get this or that. It's also mindfulness without the hindrances, without the cloud, without the veil, without the interference of the hindrances, that wanting mind or not wanting mind or the sleepiness. It's a clarity of seeing. Now, all those hindrances and those may be present, but the seeing of them allows them to be seen without clouding the experience. So it's a clear seeing. And here's a very important aspect. It's contemplating the nature of impermanence, the arising and passing, both the arising and passing. And this gets into all kinds of things. This gets into all the roots of suffering. And in Buddhism, you know, birth, death, aging, sickness, you know, having things and losing things, wanting this and not getting it, having things happen in our lives, even though we didn't want it to happen. Contemplating impermanence using this body allows us to get freed from the grasping and cling around the roots of suffering. So we can practice this mindfulness of the body. We can practice it in formal sitting. We can practice it in daily life. We can practice it right now as we're listening to this Dharma talk, as I'm saying this Dharma talk. I'm recognizing right now my feet are on the ground. My hands touching this paper in my hands. I'm looking. All this can be known. And it can be helpful to see how we are reacting, responding to the current circumstances. Our response can be helpful. Is our response going to help us keep us on our path? Is our conditioned response leading us off the path? Can mindfulness pause long enough to realign with our best intentions? So we start formal practice. The Buddha instructs to the bhikkhus, to his followers. He says, take a posture, cross-legged, in the forest, perhaps at the root of a tree. I like getting into nature. Certainly that would be an ideal place to sit. I like getting into nature, and I often use this one guy named John Young. He wrote a book at What the Robin Knows, and talking about learning about bird behavior. And he would work with young people, and he would send them out into the woods, say, see what the birds are doing. And they'll run out and come back later. John, we didn't see any birds. No. Well, he'd send them out again. He said, this time when you go out, find a place, perhaps under a tree, and just sit. Just be still. And then watch. They would do this. And they'd come back. Oh, we saw birds. And first one sees the birds. And then they see the interrelationship of how they interact. They see behaviors. See territorial behaviors, feeding behaviors, nesting behaviors. Likewise, in our formal sit, we start being still. Just watching comings and goings. But rather than watching comings and goings of birds, we're watching comings and goings of sensations of the body. Our breath, breathing in, knowing breathing in. Breathing out, knowing breathing out. Breathing in long, knowing breathing in long. Breathing out long, breathing in short, knowing breathing in short. And so forth. Just knowing the natural arising and passing. We often start in our practice, in our meditation practice, with mindfulness of the breath. There's different ways to do this. And the technique of starting with a mindfulness of breath can be quite helpful. Having a singular focus can help steady the mind, can help bring stability to the mind. Just knowing the breath, always returning to the breath, knowing breath, breathing. Just that. The mind wanders. Okay, back to the breath. That can bring stability of the mind. But we're not trying to get good at watching the breath. I mean, what good is that? Okay, I'm the best breath watcher in the world here. That's not the point here. The point is to create a settledness so that we can have clarity about what's occurring. It's like photography. You have a camera. You start taking pictures. It's important to hold that camera steady. It's important to focus that camera. it's important to have a clean lens for seeing. And this would be like our mind in sitting meditation. It's important to be still, mentally still. All right, to be with. Have a focus. And we might start out with this mindfulness of breath, but what we're really doing is trying to understand the whole world, our whole, again, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe, to see the comings and goings throughout our body, to see various sensations of the body, to see various ways that our bodies are responding, and not in a way that we say, oh, my leg hurts or this or that, rather looking at the sensations that are occurring, vibration, tightness, pleasantness. Linda will get into that. To recognize things, the actual experience of the body. So there's different practices around this. I mean, some people do a body scan, looking at all the different parts of their body. That's a real nice practice. I think I might do a guided meditation a little bit along that line. People reflect on the four elements. That can be a way of looking at the body, rather than, yeah, it kind of loosens the grip of what this body is, our conditioned grip. So we can see the body in terms of the four elements of earth, wind, fire, and water. Earth being a solidity, our solidness, are connected to the ground. You know, any type of hardness. You know, the fire, the heat, or the lack of heat, the movement of you know, the wind or the water element, the breath coming and going, all can be seen as movement, the clingingness to all, it can be seen as elements, you know, earth, wind, fire, and water. I haven't done a lot of that, but I've been guided in that. It's kind of a nice practice. So again, we're doing this not, you know, the emphasis on this is not on the doing, but rather than on the awareness of what is known. You know, not me getting good at mindfulness, you know, but and not trying to get a certain blissful state, but just to know, to understand. So we can have mindfulness of the body in any posture. And we'll do that a bit today. You know, we can have sitting meditation. We can have standing, walking, lying down. It's kind of the four postures. This is worth recognizing. It's worth recognizing how we move from one posture to the next. What inclines us to move from this posture to the next. We can recognize eating, sleeping, or eating, or speaking and listening. That's a good one. You know, what? Mindful of our speaking, mindful of our hearing. This is mindful of body, that in relationship, entering and leaving. We come into a door, we open a door, we enter, something's changing. Recognizing our response to that, we can feel it in our body. Maybe we feel an urgency to get there or to get out. That can be felt. That can provide some information and guidance about what drives us. We can use it in all aspects of being, carrying our lives, you know, bathing, urinating, working, washing the dishes. That's a good one. Our hands engaged, the warmth of the water flowing, the wanting to get done. Watching TV, that might be a difficult one because we tend to check out. That might be noticed. When we use our device, what's our body feeling like wanting that device? Do we feel that wanting? That's felt in the body. We can feel that wanting. Beginnings and endings. We can feel this in our bodies. The anticipation of a beginning. The feeling about ending. Maybe a sense of loss. Maybe a sense of joy. That can be known. So an important aspect that we're doing here has to do with impermanence. You mentioned that earlier. And there's all kinds of practices I like around this. I like things around death, you know, just knowing things end. You know, I like going to graveyards and looking at the gravestones and seeing, oh, this person was born this date and died then. Oh, what was that like then? And this person next to them, it looks like their husband or wife. Oh, different age. They're here and then ended. Oh, they died almost the same time. Oh, this one lived longer. Oh, what was that like? All came and went. All these lives in this graveyard. A big deal. A real big deal. At one time, all the things that they're engaged in came and went. Gone. Just like us. I like looking at family pictures. Both my parents are gone now. Gone quite a while. Father's gone 22 years. What a big deal he was in my life for 22 years growing up. Now it's been 22 years without him. Amazing. The beginnings and endings. Beginnings and endings. Big deal. His life, big deal. Like looking at pictures. Yeah, my mother had a lot of pictures growing up. I'd see her as a little kid in Hungary, a little picture of a little kid. And I see her growing up as a teenager and back in the States and all dressed up with her girlfriends and, you know, just, you know, beautiful, beautiful young woman. And, you know, this is during, you know, the 30s, you know, kind of interesting times. And then I see her aging. You know, here she is with children. You know, a couple little kids, my older brothers. And I see her and, you know, this, you know, in a wheelchair at the end, her face, you know, kind of, you know, the skin all stretched and falling and her eyes half closed and then dead, gone. All these lies that we can be aware of coming and going, just like us. You know, look at my own body, you know, this skin bag that kind of holds all my bones and blood and guts and stuff that I'm kind of dragging around. Used to be able to drag it around pretty well. It used to be a pretty tight little bag and I could move it pretty quickly. Now it's more like, you know, dragging it around. You know, I get all this, you know, this little flabby thing here. And, you know, I used to have a whole bunch of hair here and that's all disappearing. And all these things, all these changes that we can recognize with our body. What a teacher. What a teacher. So mindfulness of the body, first foundation, recognizing impermanence, recognizing our own coming and going, recognizing our response of our reactivity to our interactions with life, this barometer that can recognize how our conditioning is guiding us in the right direction or wrong direction. This barometer, which can say, oh, pause here, realign with our best intention, realign. I'm not going to move where this inclination is. I'm going to say, here, this is my path. I'm going to follow that way. I begin here, check my GPS, start with this position and move in the direction that I want. So I think I'll let it go at that. A lot more can be said. I mean, there's, like I say, Satipatthana Sutta is huge. So hopefully that's some guidance on the first foundation. And yeah, hopefully the day will unfold well for you. So thank you for your attention.